we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show. You're writing to us at MyNorthWatch.com, although Andrew's got a kind of a passing thought on that.
I don't know if many people really use it.
Yeah, okay, then you could text, how about this? The Muckershooker Resort text line, 1-888-973-5476. Teeny, get ready. The onslaught of text messages coming, and you have to find the ones that want to play the know-it-all quiz, because if you put something in there interesting about yourself, whoa, look out! You'll find yourself talking to Joe and just waiting patiently as he goes into one of his weird, deep, phlegmy coughing fits, and then ask you one interesting thing about yourself, and then you'll find yourself on the radio playing the know-it-all quiz. You win yourself a whole box of Bite Me cookies. No potatoes, Teeny, just cookies. There you go. All right, all of that out of the way. Dive it into the day. Refreshing and bracing. Okay. Well, there is a bill that would make first cousin marriage illegal in Tennessee. Oh, boy. They're going to have to change your license plates. Went down, but not without a fight, from a reporter there at WSNV.
It's going to be illegal to marry your first cousin in the state of Tennessee. A bill just passed, but not without opposition. Two lawmakers voted against the ban. Representative Gino Bolso argued it should.
And his cousin. They're married. They both voted against the ban.
Be legal for first cousins to marry if they receive genetic counseling. They also countered that birth defects couldn't be possible if two male first cousins married. The bill passed both the House and the Senate. Governor Lee can now sign it into law, making it illegal for first cousins to get married in Tennessee.
Interesting twist-a-roonia there, right? Didn't see the guys doing it, right?
He says if same-sex couples can marry their first cousins because there are no ramifications or problems with having a child, why not everybody? I don't know if this is the hill he's going to die on, but I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to advocate for.
Hey, sees a loophole in there. He's got sort of a weird animal attraction to his own cousin or something. And then he's like, there's an interesting sort of social thing, right? It's like society, it's better off for society if you don't get married, but we love one another and love is love. I know, but if you have a baby, you could have a messed up baby. So for society's sake, we're going to step in, but love is love. Yeah, I got that. But if you had a kid and the kid was all messed up and then the state has to pay for the messed up kid because that's where the state would be involved. But what if I love, no. So no first cousins. But isn't that kind of an interesting sort of social experiment that the state steps in and says, no, that marriage, you're not allowed to marry your cousin because that would be bad for the rest of us.
Well, right? He pointed out that the rate of, I guess, disabilities or whatever that can happen, complications from marrying your first cousin are like 2%. So he's saying it's not that dangerous. I guess what you're saying is he's sort of standing on a principle, standing on if it's good enough for this, why not this?
Well, he's just trying to show that laws to be consistent. And, but the stories about these guys that are artificially inseminating, these doctors that are doing, these women have no idea that all of a sudden, it wasn't the one woman strangely attracted to the guy. They were either kind of engaged or whatever. And she found out, oh my God, that's my brother. Remember that story?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The mothers had gone to the same fertility doctor and they turned out they were related.
Yeah. So then that, I think you had a really, really very guttural reaction to that one, Sherry, that you couldn't believe. And it really kind of threw you for a while. But you think, oh, you're like, oh, some sort of weird noise like that. My first kiss. I was like fifth grade or something. And I kissed my cousin. And then later on, I told a friend of mine, I was like, oh, my. Yeah, that's going to mess you up. You're going to be brain damaged. I was like, We had sort of a kind of a cursory understanding of biology at that point in fifth grade. Yeah.
Did she come to visit how did you encounter?
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
And was it like a kiss or just a?
No, like kiss, just like first kiss. doesn't count though, right? Kissing your cousin.
Well,
it's let's just move on, everybody. I feel Tennessee. Really vulnerable right now.
Jeez. The last guy I worked with, who I worked with for 20 years, had the exact same story. His first kiss with his cousin.
See there. And where is he now?
Still doing radio.
He's defending all that right. law in Tennessee as a legislator.
Sherry, we were married. It was just this. It was after Thanksgiving dinner. We're all running around.
No judgment. Just you cut it off before it got too. You cut it off before.
You're
going to
judge these people. Yes, like little kids. Let's see. Are you going to judge these people interested in ethical non-monogamy? It is apparently a big thing in Seattle. The idea is that you've got somebody you're steady with, but then you're like, you know, hey, let's bring a third in because that would be kind of fun and kind of mix things up a little bit. We don't need to be monogamous. If you're not monogamous and I'm not monogamous and we decide like, hey, you can have this person, that person. So more the merrier. So that's the idea. How many people, they give you the statistics, how many people are doing this in Seattle?
There's been a 500% increase over the last 3 years, I guess with OkCupid or some of these other ones, for either ethically non-monogamous or polyamorous. I have said forever that polyamory is going to be the next gay marriage. It's going to be, that's people that are going to go for it. But there's some drawbacks when you become a throuple. Because a lot of people are jealous, no matter how okay they seem with it, they do get jealous, and somebody always feels kind of left out. It's kind of like when three kids play together, there's always one that's a little bit on the outside, and so they, they say it's not really for everybody, but it's fun if in the beginning. Isn't it all, though? Gary, the bachelor.
Yeah, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was fun in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you fought. Then I still love her. Why do we bring in Jacob into this? Because did he say that he knows people that do this or he does this?
I didn't say nothing about Jacob.
Really, Joe? Huh?
Just because those two stories are right next to each other doesn't mean they're related.
Oh, I thought he said that was a big thing that people were doing that he knew of. Can I give you the brief history of monogamy?
Silence. You did, and it was very thorough, and thank you for putting that into perspective. A third of Seattle OkCupid.
Wait a minute. Wait, did I do that? I haven't done it yet.
I haven't heard it.
Well, you said yes. They say yes. So I'm just going
okay,
with
then
what
here
you
it
suggested.
Is. So here we go way back, right? And this is before the understanding of biology. We had tribes about 120 people, or most tribes. And you would have males and females. And women didn't understand that one guy would be the only one responsible for the fertilization of her eggs. So what you would do in these tribes would be like, I like that guy's eyes. I like his strength. I like his sense of humor. I like this guy's, you know, whatever. So she would basically have relations with all five, picking the characteristics of, let's say, five. Then at that point, having no idea who the child was, every single one of those guys would assume, hey, that could be my kid. That could be Mike. That's my kid. So there's a group patriarchal involvement in that child's life. So the fathers, there are multiple fathers involved in the child's life, assuming that that child, I was part of the creation of that child. Not an understanding of biology. That's the way they were going, right? So then you would have like basically communal property, communal in the sense that, you know, if you're growing anything or raising anything or hunting anything, the men would feed all of the children because they didn't know if it was their child or not. They felt some sort of bonds through the child because, well, that's my kid. That could be my kid. So we all take care. So the idea of, you know, almost like communism, we're all in this together. There is no private property. There's a better understanding of biology started to come around, and people started to realize, well, wait a minute, whoa, hang on a second. That's my kid. that is my kid, and that's my mate, that's my wife, or my the mother of my child, so I will provide for that child. And then things started to break down a little bit because, well, why am I feeding your kid? And there was the idea of private property then became part of the equation. And then it was like, well, this would be my land, and I will till this land and plant these seeds and grow these crops to feed my family. I will hunt for my family and feed my family, as things started to break up. So then all of a sudden, the idea of private property came into play, and you got rid of this sort of communal life idea, a commune, and it was really a better understanding of, and then my monogamy was set in place because it just made for better order. You weren't going over to somebody else's tent or whatever and messing around over there. So it just kept the system better together to have monogamy. It goes against nature. Biologically, men want to be able to sort of date as many women as possible, but for the structure and the best of society, they find monogamy is the thing that you should sort of press down upon the urges of the male. There you go. Okay.
I liked it better the other way.
What was the other way? Oh, that everybody just runs around?
Yeah, where they just, the woman gets to pick whoever she wants and then all the men chip in. That's a great system.
Oh, okay. So like Friday night at your house, five guys rolling in and out of there. And you're like,
well, I didn't say all at the same time. I just mean that's pretty good. Because a lot of men don't take responsibility at all. But let's say you have it takes a village for everything. Right. So you take advantage of the village as a woman, and then they help you, and everybody's in it together.
I guess also because in Seattle, men have such a hard time meeting women. And once you finally find one, I assume most of these are male. Is the woman bringing in the third? I assume it's two females and one male, right? Not the other way around, I'm going to guess, in most cases.
I wouldn't think that two men would go for that. I think two women, sister wives or whatever, they would go for it.
Yeah. But it's hard to date because most guys are fairly awkward around women. Jacob, a former producer, was sharing with us some of his favorite pickup lines. Jacob not only loves, space and chemistry, he's really into all that nerd stuff. So I said, would you share with us some of your best pickup lines that you think would really work? And he said, well, what category? We're like, well, what are your favorite space ones? He's like, okay, here's one.
Was your father an astronomer? Because I think he stole the stars and put them in your eyes.
What? Eyes? I think he got nervous at the end.
How about, and then he walks up to somebody, and he thinks, maybe she's into chemistry.
You must be made of ions, because I feel supercharged around you.
Oh, he was into that one.
Yeah,
he wasn't. Well, he likes that. And then finally, I said, well, you like physics. He reads a lot about physics and stuff.
I think my electrons and your protons have some serious potential energy. Want to convert it to kinetic?
Also into that. I'll be down there.
The woman would be like, you look like you're 28, but your voice sounds like it's just hitting puberty. So throws them all off on that one right there. So I assume you're not into the thrombotomy.
You mean the thruple?
Sure. Yes, sorry, thruple. Thrombotomy would be like you bring a third person into the relationship and then you have a blood clot in your leg, right? Go ahead. Right.
Yeah. No, I don't have any problem with it.
Okay,
from a standpoint of society, it's not my cup of tea, but I don't. If people can manage something like that, okay.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're like friends with another couple, you meet them and they're like fine and everything, and then you get the idea that they are into like switching up?
Yep. Yes.
Andrew, some kind of music for this story would be appropriate. Sherry, floor is all yours.
No, I mean, it was
No, go ahead. From the beginning. Go ahead.
No, I mean, we had these friends. This is with my former husband. We had these friends, and he was friends with the guy first. And then the wife came over one time, and they both came over. And the wife really wanted to spend a lot of extra time with my husband. Mm-hmm. And the guy really wanted to spend some extra time with me. I mean, it was so obvious, right? They were separating us and they were like courting both of us. And we don't know. We didn't see pink flamingos. We didn't see a white rock or whatever it is. But yeah, that was the only time when they left, we both were like, ooh, boy, I know what they had on their mind.
And now the rest of the story.
Right.
Isn't it a pineapple or something?
Oh, pineapple.
Upside down pineapple?
Upside down pineapple is that, yeah. Yeah. I had the same situation a while ago with Nick. Same kind of thing.
Mom, change the station!
Yeah, I agree with you, little girl. Yeah. So, I even asked Joe about it. He goes, oh, yeah, that's what that was. Right? Joe, you get any advice on that?
Yeah. Confirmed.
Same advice. Oh, yeah, confirmed. It's flattering, but it's also like, whoa. Yeah.
No, thanks.
Okay.
Unless.
Joe, you found somebody's... Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, there'd have to be like a lot of rules and things. They couldn't live across the street. Hmm. They'd have to be foreign and they're going back to their country so they wouldn't tell anybody. You know, there'd have to be a pretty big setup for it to work.
Anything else? Would they have to have like a lobotomy so that afterwards they can't tell anybody or express any emotions about it? What if you're there over the guy's house, the wife, you know, for some reason just disappears, and the guy comes out of the bedroom in a like a half open silk.
Say hello to my new friend.
Huh?
Oh, you mean if it happens just randomly, like all of a sudden, what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, no, we had to set up the rules. We haven't, remember, I like rules.
Okay.
We haven't set that up yet. Where are you from? When are you going back? We never want to hear from you again. That type of thing. And the wife can't be better looking than me.
Wow, Sherry, you're very open-minded.
Wow. You're really giving this a lot of thought for somebody who's like, at the beginning of the segment, like, no way.
Well, that opportunity probably won't come
again. A listener just texted, my friend had a husband and live in boyfriend, and they had two kids, 5 years. It worked for them.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
As long as nobody gets hurt, it's okay.
I got it. We don't get Nate.
Ow, jeez.
Here we go with the Sean Curley, Sherry Ellinger Show. Oh, gather the kiddies around the radio set now, because I'll tell you right now, it is time for the Know-It-All Quiz, and everybody loves the Know-It-All Quiz.
Listen!
I mean, no one's listening, and then they want them to listen? I can't understand what that was all about. But basically, here comes our contestant now. Yeah, ready? His name is Steve. He lives in Shoreline. And the one interesting thing about him, his band was featured on Evening Magazine when the show was good. And he frequently donates blood, and he's now donated his 190th pint of blood. Hopefully he has enough strength to stay on the phone and talk to us. Steve, you didn't donate 190 all in one day, did you?
No, not this time.
Okay. Man, you are like a fountain there out in front of the Bellagio. That's a lot of blood. I did the quick math. You ready?
Ready.
Hopefully this doesn't gross anybody out. That's 25 gallons. That'd be like a small hot water heater just pumping blood through your heating system.
Well, they really like me at the blood donation center, the Puget Sound Blood Center, because I am A negative and cytomegalovirus negative, so I donate blood that goes straight to Children's Hospital. And what's great about donating blood for men is that it helps you not have a heart attack. Did you know that?
Wow.
There you go.
And Steve, as long as you're doing public service announcements, Northwest Blood, they are desperately, desperately in need of blood. And we are going to organize something over here at Cairo. They talked to us about it. Chris Cashman's leading the charge on that as a public service announcement. And it's people like you that lead the way, but we can't depend on people like Steve, you know, just giving blood every, when do you go, like once a month or something?
No, I go in every 2 months because I do a whole blood donation.
Oh,
you could do plasma, I think, every week or something like that, but I don't do plasma.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you ever hear the joke about the guy's, he's in the hospital bed and he's dying and they can't figure out his blood type, and the doctor comes to his wife and says, listen, he's probably going to die. He's not going to make it. We just got to find out. He's unconscious right now, but if he knew his blood type, we could probably save him. So the wife goes in and he looks down at him and he sort of opens his eyes and says, "Be positive. Be positive." She walks out of the room and she says, "I don't know, all I know is he left me some really, really wonderful words to live by. He just wants me to just go on and have a great life." Anyway, there you go. That's my joke. Hey, I get a, huh? How many people got blood joke drive jokes, huh? There you go. Right
blood
here.
Joke drive there you jokes.
Blood joke drive jokes.
Okay, all right. I said too many words. All right, well, listen, okay. Steve, we love the fact that you listen to the show because you always have nothing better to do with your life. But now that you know that we're the 67th most popular talk show, according to Talkers.com, the Heavy 100, that's got to make you feel good that you're helping us be number 67.
That does make me feel really good. Yes. I'm happy to contribute in any way possible.
Yes, you are. Now, you're not into the blood giving just for the cookies, are you?
No. In fact, I did it back when I was in my early 20s. I did it just to get out of work, and it worked really well. I've been doing everything.
What do you do now other than just make yourself a human blood bag?
I'm retired from King County Metro. I was a driver for 18 years, and wow. I'm a part-time musician with a popular band, and I drive my old sports car around town and just enjoy my retirement.
Yeah, you do. All right, what's the name of the band? Joe's going to try to find some of it on YouTube so we can play it before we end the little segment with you. What's the name of the band?
Rat City Brass.
Rat City Brass. All right, Joe's going to find that. And now the tone and tenor changes to a minor key.
Okay.
Here we go for all the cookies, which you're used to. You don't have to give any blood for this. Just stay conscious for the next 4 minutes. Libraries in Seattle are reducing hours to save money. Sherry said libraries have expanded their services to communities beyond just books. What surprise service did Sherry get at the library, Sherry?
A, a passport. B, a pap smear. C, a spring tune-up on an old riding mower her brother gave her in exchange for a bag of weed.
Look it up in the book.
The most logical one seems to be passport.
Oh, good job. That in your book.
You guys go for logic. All right, you're correct. I told a brief story that had never been heard before about a couple who came to the barn to look to book a wedding. And afterwards, my wife couldn't stop talking about how gorgeous the guy was. She told her girlfriends, and they were just drooling over just the description of the guy. So I decided, in a temporary fit of jealousy, to grow what, Sherry?
A, more pumpkins. B, a beard. C, a bigger blank.
I'll go with B, a beard.
Safe answer. Thank you, Sherry. Good catch on that one. Sherry had her tin hat on and hot takes. According to Sherry, what was her hot take, tin hat take today? Sherry?
A, OJ is not really dead. B, the Golden Bachelor was fixed. Or C, the eclipse was faked just to sell those cheap plastic glasses.
Well, I'm going with B with this one.
Wow. Good lordy. And you know what? Holy moly. You are way too smart. Good lord. And that's our band. That's not Rat City Brass coming in there. That's our band congratulating you for winning the know-it-all quiz. Teeny's got a whole bunch of cookies. There we go.
Want to hear a little Rat City Brass?
Yeah. I'll do my Bill O'Reilly. And here's something from the. What does that mean? I can't read it. What does that say? I can't read that. What do you mean, play us out? What do you mean, play us out? I can't read it. Carrie's fishing sucks. All right, I'll do it live. And here's something from Rat City Brass from their latest album.
You know, if you need a wedding band, it's a
venue. Yeah.
What do you play? Which instrument?
I play drums.
Oh, drums. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I need drummer jokes.
Yeah. Hey, drummer jokes. Here we go. Drummer jokes. We got 1 minute. Okay. Give us your best one.
Okay. What's the difference between a drummer and a pizza?
I don't know. What is the difference between a drum and a pizza? I'm sorry. I jumped on your thing. What? I don't know.
The timing.
Oh, will you stop? I don't know. What's the difference between a drummer and a pizza?
Pizza can feed a family of four. What do you call a beautiful woman on the arm of a trombone player?
I don't know.
A tattoo.
Steve, thank you for playing, but more importantly, for saving lives and knowing that blood type that you've got is as rare as you are, going to Children's Hospital, saving lives. Thank you, my friend. And stay on the line to get your whole box of Bite Me Cookies. Thanks for listening. Yeah, it is. Did I mention Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, Andrew? I really should, shouldn't I? They're good and good for you.
Yes, Wilcox Eggs.
Family Farm
Eggs. Yes, that's right.
Yes, Wilcox Eggs. You, Andrew. He's in charge of responding, reminding me of all that stuff. All right. You want to do some letters? Huh?
I do, yes. Of course. Yep.
Okay. Teeny.
I'm the mailman. As you
Lindsay Fry's
the mailman.
Employee of the week. And she,
I'm the mailman.
Don't leave.
You didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, you're right. You do it.
Don't do it again.
No, Sherry. No, don't do it again. All right, get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest.
Okay, off topic. Mm-hmm. Mike in Portland. Regarding Golden Bachelor, I say ring it and fling it. Hit it and quit it. Wed then fled. Matrimony then divorce attorney. Wetter than Shedder. That being said, I think the divorce proceedings should be televised. Well, the wedding was. Why not?
Wow. Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Apparently they had a really ironclad prenup, both of them. So maybe it's easy.
Oh, okay.
And it's stay hopeful because we are.
The couple challenged with the realities of being in the public eye.
There were all sorts of reports, though, about like, oh, your dating history, your resume passed.
I still love her. I really do.
Ted in Centralia. You see this amazing reporting on these hard-hitting stories about French bulldogs, and you got a hard-earned 68th place on Talk.com. Congratulations.
67.
And keep up the good work. Yeah, Ted. Yeah, I was going to point that out because apparently you like to point out the fact that we're doing hard-hitting stories about French bulldogs. But you're right. You know what? Got one wrong. Wrong-o, Ted-o. So why don't you just wet it and shed it?
Oh. Kyle in Olympia. This is on Swingers. Sherry, is it a pineapple, a white rock, or pink flamingos? I need the answer. Asking for a friend. I think it's all of them.
In one place? Like a big pile of it laid out in the front yard?
Any of them are signs. That's what I read.
Indicators. Okay. Uh-huh. Just asking for a friend. 253, also on Swingers. I have to admit it. I'm a bit surprised by Sherry's comment. Yes. What would Trevor say? Yeah, what would Trevor say? That would be awkward.
What would he say? I don't know. Thailand Doug says, Tom has been away for more than one year now.
Good avoidance on that one, Sherry. Good avoidance. Keep going. Yeah.
Could we make? Nice. Could we get him to make a guest appearance?
Tom. Tom was asked December 7th, three years ago. He left 2 years ago, and we said we're going to come back on. He's like, no. I was like, okay. Okay. He said when he left, he said, I'm not going to read any of the news. I'm just going to just read what I want, watch what I want. I'm just going to completely cut myself off from everything. I was like, wow. He said, yeah, because we used to do stories of people that did that. And Tom said, I think I could do that. And I guess he has. Let's see. When it comes to Jason Tlalepe, a Dirty Harry grandma. Wow. The real question should be, how the hell is she firing a .357 hand cannon? Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
She's a strong woman.
Amazing. She
and
is strong.
Now it is time for the letter of the day.
Wow. Thank you, Teeny. Teeny keeps the show on track. Congratulations, Teeny. Employee of the week. Eight weeks in a row. Terry, Sherry, let's go.
Okay, Matt in Issaquah says, guys, I heard Teeny Tiny got pulled over in the HOV lane and got ticketed. Evidently, she put on her Mr. Potato Head marital aid doll in the passenger seat to make it look like she had two people in the car. I recommend she needs to listen to Tom Herman's video on how to get out of the ticket. Yeah, that's a good luck with that.
Guy went a long way for all of those jokes, huh? I continue.
Ignore him and he'll go away.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write
for another hour.
She left the glue.
I'm all revved up. I hope the next hour is as good as the last three, Sherry.
I think it will be.
Yeah, I do too.